Welcome to the deep dive. If you're importing custom steel parts into the U.S., well, you're definitely in the right place today.
That's right.
We're tackling something really critical, intellectual property infringement. It's more than just legal fees or fines.
Oh, absolutely. It's about your reputation, too. Big time.
A huge hit, potentially. So our mission today, give you, the listener, some really practical ways to avoid IP headaches before they happen.
Yeah, we want to equip you. We've looked at a lot of material on IP protection specifically for importing steel parts. Think of it as actionable intelligence.
Exactly. We'll cover digging into existing IP, getting solid agreements with suppliers, and how customs fits into the picture. It's your guide to staying safe, legally speaking.
Couldn't have put it better. We're drawing on info that lays out the smart moves, focusing on the how-to, not just the what.
Okay, let's dive right in then. First things first, even before you place that order, you've got to do your IP homework. Freedom to operate or FTO. Why is this step, well, non-negotiable?
It's fascinating, really. So many businesses get caught up in, you know, the making and the shipping.
The logistics.
And they miss this. FTO research is like your early radar. It's crucial because it helps you spot existing patents, patents that might cover your part or even how it's made.
Right. The process itself.
Exactly. Finding those potential clashes before you commit serious cash, that saves you from, well, enormous trouble down the line.
So practically, how does our listener actually do this FTO research? What are the steps?
Well, there are a few key parts. First up, patent databases. You've got to search them.
Like the USPTO.
The USPTO, yes. The U.S. Patent Trademark Office. That's the big one stateside. But don't stop there. Think internationally, too. The European Patent Office, the EPO, for instance.
So cast a wider net.
Definitely. You need to see what's protected globally, not just here.
Okay. Scanning the horizon for roadblocks. Makes sense. After that initial search, what's next? Is that enough?
It's a good start, but honestly, this is where you probably want to bring in the experts.
Patent attorneys.
Yes, exactly. While your searches are helpful, patent attorneys do this day in, day out. They can conduct really deep FTO searches, understand the tricky patent language, the precedents.
They know the nuances.
They really do. They'll give you a proper assessment of your infringement risk. Think of it as, I don't know, a detailed legal forecast before you launch.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
Get the expert view before you're too invested. Now, you mentioned the manufacturing process can also be patented. How do we factor that in?
That's a sharp point. Sometimes the genius isn't just the part, it's how you make it. So the FTO search has to look beyond the design drawings.
At the actual techniques.
Right. Are you using a specific welding method, some unique heat treatment? Any step in making it could potentially tread on someone else's patent. You've got to check.
Okay, so let's recap this first big step.
Mm-hmm.
FTO means checking patent databases for designs and methods here and abroad, and ideally getting a patent attorney involved. What's the big win for doing all this up front?
The payoff is just huge. Look, the cost of doing this FTO work, it pales in comparison to the potential cost of an IP lawsuit. We're talking potentially millions.
A fraction of the potential cost.
Easily. Yep. Plus, it guides your design process. Maybe you find a potential issue early. You can design around it before you even start tooling up. It lets you make smarter choices, basically. Less risk, protected investment.
Right. Homework savings will really hurt. Okay. Let's say FTO is done. You feel clear. What's the next protection layer when dealing with the people actually making the parts?
Okay, now we shift focus to your suppliers. And this is vital, getting solid IP protection agreements signed with them.
Why is that so key? If you trust your supplier.
Trust is good, essential even. But these agreements, they provide the legal safety net. They protect your designs, your confidential info, stop it being used wrongly.
So it's about formalizing that trust and setting clear rules.
Precisely. It's a binding commitment. They agree to keep your stuff confidential and use it only for you.
What kind of agreements or clauses are we talking about here?
Well, top of the list is a confidentiality agreement, or NDA, non-disclosure agreement. That's fundamental.
Standard stuff, usually.
It should be. It legally stops them sharing your designs, your specs, any proprietary info with anyone else. It's your first defense against leaks.
Okay, NDAs are a must. What else needs to be in there for real protection?
You also need really clear clauses stopping unauthorized use of your IP.
Meaning?
Meaning they can't take your designs, your tech, and use it for another customer. Or worse, make their own competing product based on it.
Ah, okay. So it locks down your IP just for your part.
Exactly. It has to be crystal clear that the IP is only for your project.
And what if, you know, worst case, they do breach the agreement? What backup does this give our listener?
That's where the legal recourse part kicks in. A properly written agreement gives you clear grounds to sue if they break the rules. Without it, trying to enforce your rights gets much, much harder, messier, more expensive.
So it's not just about good faith, it's about having that legal hammer if needed.
Absolutely. It's a critical tool. Protects you during manufacturing and even after.
All right, FTO done. Supplier agreements locked down. Now the parts are made, they're heading to the U.S. How do we stop accidentally bringing in fakes or stuff that infringes someone else's IP?
Yeah, this is another crucial point. Even if your IP is buttoned up, you need to make sure the stuff you're importing isn't violating someone else's rights or isn't just counterfeit.
Passed off as the real deal.
Right. And this is where U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, plays a big part.
How so? What do they do?
CBT is actually quite proactive here. They have specific programs to catch counterfeit and IP infringing goods right at the border. And the good news is you can actually work with them.
Partner with CBP.
How does that work? The main way is through their IPR e-recordation program. IPR stands for Intellectual Property Rights.
Okay.
You can register your trademarks and copyrights with CBP through this online system. Once it's recorded, CBP officers are much better positioned to spot, detain, seize, even destroy goods coming in that violate your registered IP.
Wow, so you're essentially giving them a watch list for your specific IP.
Exactly. It empowers them to be your eyes and ears right at the port of entry. It's a powerful tool.
Definitely sounds like it. Besides registering with CBP, what else can our listener do on their end?
Keep auditing your suppliers regularly.
Even after signing the agreements.
Oh, yeah. It's not a one and done thing. Do periodic checks, make sure they're sticking to the IP rules, make sure they aren't slipping counterfeit materials or components in, maybe even unintentionally. It's like ongoing IP quality control.
Continuous oversight. Got it. What about the paperwork trail? Certificates and things.
Verification is key. Ask for certificates of authenticity. For steel parts, material compliance certifications are important too.
Why those specifically?
They provide evidence, a paper trail, showing the goods are legitimate, where they came from. It helps confirm they aren't fakes and hopefully aren't infringing. Sometimes inconsistencies in the docs are the first warning sign.
Okay, so combining CBP e-recordation with your own checks, supplier audits, document verification that builds a stronger defense against bad imports.
Exactly. It's about layers of defense. Protect your own IP, avoid infringing others, and don't get stuck with counterfeits.
Now let's consider the scenario where, despite all this, an IP dispute flares up. What's the game plan then?
Right, if that happens, you need to act fast. Speed is key to minimize disruption and protect your rights.
First step if you suspect infringement.
Document everything, meticulously. Gather all the evidence you can find, photos of suspected fakes, patent numbers being violated, proof of unauthorized use. Keep detailed records. The better your documentation, the stronger your case.
Makes sense. Build your evidence file. What's usually the next move, maybe before going full legal?
Often, sending a formal cease and desist letter is the next logical step.
Okay, what does that do?
It's a legal notice telling the other party to stop the infringing activity immediately. Sometimes, that's enough. It can resolve the problem without needing a bigger, costlier fight.
A formal warning shot. And if that doesn't work, what are the bigger guns?
Well, if you hold a U.S. patent and imported goods are infringing it, filing a complaint with the U.S. International Trade Commission, the ITC, is a serious option under Section 337 of the Tariff Act.
The ITC. What power do they have?
They investigate these specific import-related IP cases. If they agree there's infringement, they can issue what's called an exclusion order that blocks the infringing goods from even entering the U.S.
Blocks them at the border. Wow.
Yes. And they can also issue orders to stop the sale of infringing goods already in the country. It's a powerful remedy.
Definitely sounds impactful. And the final, probably most crucial piece of advice here.
Talk to legal experts immediately. IP law is complex, it changes. A good IP attorney can look at your specific situation, explain your options, guide you through the process. They're your essential ally if things get serious. Don't wing it.
So, if trouble arises, act fast, yeah. Document like crazy, maybe send a cease and desist, consider the ITC if applicable, and absolutely get expert legal advice. Pronto.
That's the playbook. Prompt strategic action is crucial to protect your IP and your business.
Okay, so as we wrap up, we've really covered a lot today, hopefully equipping you, our listener, to handle the IP side of importing custom steel parts. Let's just quickly hit the main preventative points again.
Sure. The big three are thorough FTO research before you import. solid IP protection agreements with suppliers, and using CBP's tools, especially e-recordation.
And it's not just a checklist you tick off once, is it? It needs ongoing attention.
No, absolutely not. You have to stay vigilant. Keep an eye on the IP landscape. Keep talking to your suppliers about compliance. Stay updated on laws and regulations.
And be ready to act if needed.
Be ready to act swiftly and smartly if you spot trouble. That's right.
So being proactive, staying informed, having those agreements and registrations in place, that really lowers the IP risk profile for importers.
It really does. It's about building that robust, layered strategy to protect your innovations in today's global market.
Well said. And maybe a final thought to leave with our listener. We've talked about FTO, agreement, CBP. But thinking about how interconnected supply chains are now, always changing, what other proactive steps, maybe looking further down the road, could you take to really lock down protection for your innovative steel designs long term? Something to ponder. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.